It's time to pick up your press pass. A look at high school, college, and pro sports impacting the Texas Panhandle with your host, Cale Steed, sports reporter for the Amarillo Globe News, and Craig Speary of the Happy Sports Network. It's like this, y'all. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name. He doesn't need his name up in lights, he just wants to... I want to welcome everybody into the press pass. It is Monday, October 2nd, and remember the name, Cale. I think that's what we're speaking, Parker Bridwell, right off the top. The man, can't forget him.
No, you can't, man. What a performance yesterday, huh? To end the year.
Oh, it's great. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Mr. Hereford, Texas. And I just want to say a big thanks to Parker, his dad Keith, and his brother Chris, just for all the help they gave me this year and to, you know, keeping me informed on all he did, man. But you want to just go into it and start what he did yesterday?
Let's do it.
Seven innings against Seattle. Got the win. No earned runs, three hits, three Ks, and 88 pitches. Didn't quite get to that 100 mark he was wanting to hit, but I think he'll take that win. He goes 10-3, and he becomes the first Angel rookie to get 10 wins in a season since 2006, Jared Weaver.
That's pretty good company.
That's really good company. 10-3, 121 innings pitch. Can you believe that?
That's good.
From May 30th. That was when his first start was, start.
He pretty much became the ace of the Angels.
Yeah, he
in
did.
The second half of the year.
You can say he worked his way in the rotation, and most dependable. I mean, guys started to love him. 121 innings. I mean, that's amazing. Who would have thought that? He had, what, six innings in 6 years in big league ball, grinding on the road and buses, double A to Baytown to single A to rookie law. I mean, he's been through it. He thought about quitting. He thought about going to play to Tech football. His dad talked him out of it. Been quite a journey for the Hereford guy, man, but he stuck through it, and now it paid off for him. And, you know, I did a little thing with him, and you saw it in Sunday's paper, kind of a through Parker Bridwell's eyes, and I wrote it for him. You know, he talked with Lance and I, and he's so humble, man.
He's unbelievably humble. If you ever meet the guy, I don't think folks understand just how humble Parker Bridwell is. I had the chance to meet him this winter, and, you know, he didn't walk around with this, oh, check me out, you know, I'm a Major League Baseball player, about to be on the cusp of being a Major League Baseball player. Very, very humble, willing to do whatever was asked of him, and, I mean, he said nice things about my kid. He talked about my kid. I almost had to get out of him the fact of who he even was.
Yeah, so he is. He's just, you know, and what I got out of the interview was, you know, pitchers and the Angels, I guess this is happens around the bigs, and that was the kind of insights he gave us is, they picked the tunes in the locker room on game day. He didn't do that.
That was very interesting.
Yeah, he just kept his headphones in. His jaw dropped when he saw Pujols. I mean, it's just the things that he would say. And then he tweets out after the game yesterday, I just want to say thank you to my Angel teammates and everyone that is a part of this organization. I'll cherish this season, or this season is one I'll cherish. I mean, this is a typical guy. I mean, that just sums him up.
Very much so. And I don't think the other piece, if people haven't seen Parker pitch, you know, I watched him up at Yankee Stadium or New Yankee Stadium.
You did see him in person.
I got
this
to
year.
See him up there, and that was awesome. And he was touching 96 on the radar gun there. So this isn't a guy who has made it to the major leagues and just happened to be in the right place at the right time, throwing 90, 91. I've watched enough Rangers ball to make a man go crazy since 1977 is when I remember really starting to following them. And, you know, there'd be guys come through and they would throw two or three or four really good outings. You were like, all right, there's our next guy. And then you never hear from him again.
And not only that, he really, working with Arthur Rhodes, a former Oriole, when he was in the Orioles organization, he really worked on his change and his slider, and he knocked that down to about 78. Because, I mean, you know, Hereford, all you needed was a fastball, and that's what he's always had. But now he's got 4 to 5 pitches he can go to, and he showed that. And he said he learned who he was as a pitcher, and he learned how to get guys out in the bigs, and that was really one thing that really helped him this season, and it showed. And now he's got – sky's the limit for him. I mean, he's 26 next year, and he's going to be in the second year, and I'm sure he'll be back with the Angels. And, God, he's going to live in Amarillo here this offseason, so hopefully we'll get him on and get a full interview.
That would be incredible. Yeah, he figured out how to change his speeds, and that's a piece of Major League Baseball pitching. You've got to be able to change speeds. Yeah. If you can't get the ball up there at multiple rates, especially with a fastball that can top out at 96, if you can't get it up there at multiple rates, guys are going to hone in on you, and they're going to absolutely kill you.
Yeah.
And he figured that out. The other piece that I really liked
the longer the season went on, and I noticed this with every start, his number of walks started to creep down.
Right.
When I watched him, he walked too many people in New York. He got out of that game. It was a no decision. He was up 3-2 after five innings, but he had to get pulled after five because
right.
he had walked four or five batters, and his pitch count was getting up there. And the Angels never wanted him to really get above that 100-pitch mark. They really kept it down. Part of that is because he hasn't pitched a ton in the minors.
He's a reliever.
Yeah, right. So you don't want to get too many innings on those arms, but – you know, his walk rate started coming down. He got more and more effective. And, man, the results show. Like I say, he basically was the ace of the staff for the Angels, a team that was in the pennant race. They were in the wild card race.
Till 2 days
to,
ago?
Yeah, down
days
to
ago?
The last week.
And he is, like you said, just an amazing person. And he's known now as around Anaheim as a guy that kids go up to and love to come up to and get his autograph and, you know, a great teammate and a great clubhouse guy, and that's a great reputation for him. And he said, you know, he still holds Hereford dear to his heart, which I think is for a panhandle. And he's proving that athletes can go out of the panhandle, and he's proven that they can be somebody. And I think that's excellent, man.
It's an awesome story. And congratulations to Parker. Hopefully, you know, we look up 10 years from now, and he's now an 11-year veteran and just grinding and, you know, if he's doing well, that means he's an 11-year veteran, more than likely still pitching for the Angels.
Yeah.
They'll lock him up in a long-term contract.
Yeah.
So
two of them by that point. You know, so let's hope that he, you know, and he's done it all right. You know, he got that big signing bonus from Baltimore, and he, you know, golly, you say 11-year veteran, but guy, he's already been 7 years of pro baseball. And that's what people don't realize is that grind.
And signing bonus is big because when you're in the minors, you don't make squat.
No, that's what people don't realize. It's like they don't make any, you know.
They don't make anything. It's bus rides everywhere.
Right.
It, you know, you're in the majors, I think those guys get the per diem per lunch is like $125 a day. And you can cut that by at least a third, and that's your per diem in the minors.
Yeah. So, anyway, good luck, Parker, and we'll see you soon, bud. We're big fans.
So, speaking of Parker, and you kind of led into that, Texas Tech.
Yeah, he was going to go to Tech and play quarterback at one point. I wished he kind of would have at that time.
I wished he would have. they tried. They were in that game against Oklahoma State. Love the crowd at Jones Stadium.
It was
phenomenal.
We haven't seen that crowd like that since 08, man. It was, and they stayed.
They did. They stayed the whole time. They stayed loud the whole time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Tech, in my opinion, the difference in that game, they lost Kiki Kuti, not just because I want to say the name.
Yeah.
They lost him there in the first half, and it really hurt their offense going forward.
Two things I want to say. People are going to bash the defense because they gave up 585-some yards, right? That's one of the best offenses in the country, okay? You're not going to see receivers – Tech's not going to go against receivers like that the rest of the year. That Aitman kid and Washington are two phenomenal players.
Washington is the real deal.
Yeah, the real deal. But 7-0, they let him march right down the field. Okay, then here they come again, and the Fields kid gets the pick six. That changed the complexion of the entire game because you're looking at 14-0, and all of a sudden it's 28-0, and it's over, okay? And it's another 66-6 LSU game. This is why Tech's different. Okay, two. Tech had the ball with 5 minutes to go, tied at 34. The defense did what they were supposed to do. They got them off the field, and they gave their offense a chance, and they didn't get it done. So let's don't blame the defense on this one, okay? This is not on the defense. Yeah, they gave up the late touchdown. It's not on them. It's not on the and then they want to blame Cliff for not going fast enough. I thought Cliff did a great job of managing the offense.
Part of the best defense you can play against Oklahoma State is letting Mason Rudolph sit and rot on the sidelines.
And he had to because, God almighty, look what Tech's trying. They couldn't run the football. So they had to run clock. And I thought he did a great job of trying to run the football. I thought, I mean, Szymanek had his moments. And yeah, Kiki going out hurt. But Tech did I thought they had the screen pass you'd probably like to have back. But other than that, I thought Tech did everything right. I think they just ran into a better football team.
They definitely ran.
Both teams had left points on the board, Craig. But,
without a doubt. They definitely lost to the better team. I think Tech's headed in the right direction. I had no problem, and I'm not a huge Texas Tech fan, but I had no problem with those who said it's time for Cliff to go. I didn't have a problem with that. It looks like he's learned.
He's learned.
I like the fact that he brought in some transfers. He needed to get more competition in there. He improved his defense. Are they all world? No.
No.
But he improved.
They don't have to be.
They don't have to be. But he improved the defense. He went and got him a big running back, which he needed. I wish they'd ran Nisby a little bit more.
He was
trying to pound on that. But
I don't think they could have mattered at that point. Those three down linemen were killing that front.
They were. And that's something that – but I'd love to see him transform that offense
right.
to – a lot less of throw the ball all over the place all the time to a little more balanced attack.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can do that, that is your best defense at times is keeping the offense off the field.
Here's what's important now, though. Okay, you're 3-1, and now you go to Kansas. And they have to go to Kansas and win big. They need to get back on board and get a win and turn it back to the tides. They look good in the win, but they don't need to hear how they look good in the win. They need to focus on they lost. And they need to turn the tide. But anyway, real quick on this, Chance Cook looked amazing. Great tackle. And Jadeveon High had a catch. So we had some good local impact in that game.
Yeah, in fact, I really wished Shimanek would have looked for Jadeveon High there late in the game instead of T.J. Vasher.
Yeah, he kept going to Vasher.
Vasher's a stud athlete. It was obvious, though, he didn't understand the
turnaround
that Oklahoma State was throwing at him, and they just simply weren't on the same page.
Vasher's
so.
Used to – pinning little Amarillo High DBs again on the turf and catching it with one hand, not 6'4 DBs at Oklahoma State. But no, you're right. Did you see Jadeveon, by the way, take that cheap shot on the sideline?
Yeah, now I love it because the kid from Oklahoma State standing there and he's like, "What, man? Huh? I didn't do nothing, coach. I didn't do nothing." Well, here's the problem, buddy. You did
dropped
it.
Your shoulder.
You dropped your shoulder. You kind of led with a forearm. Did it hurt him? No. No. He's probably taking bigger hits from his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But it's the whole matter of intent. So don't just stand there and go, "I didn't do nothing."
It was still like to see Chance out there killing it and to see Jadeveon out there making impacts. It was – and, you know, Lance Lonert caught up with Chance, and he said – Chance told me – I talked to Chance yesterday – that Lance walked with him from the 50-yard line all the way up to the locker room, and I know that they both enjoyed that a lot. And he got a picture of him after the game, so that was cool.
I saw that. That was great. And, you know, Chance is one that goes, if you watched an Oklahoma State game, watch special teams
because
you're going to see number 35 everywhere.
He's the first one down there.
Oh, he made the solo tackle or he's right there getting ready to make the tackle or he's trying to make a block. You name it, he's doing it on special teams.
Sprinting, too. Sprinting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then speaking of culture changes, WT, a tough loss
Was, yeah, that was tough to watch. You know, that hats off to the defense. But, you know, like you know, Chris Level said it last week, when you're their beat rider, you live and die with this team. And, you know, you kind of died with this team on Saturday because you're sitting there and you're watching the defense play so hard for three quarters and they're up 7-0, but they have zilch for offense, 80, 70 yards at that time, and you're just waiting for some implosion and – I hate to say that because these guys are trying and they're playing so hard. Hunter Hughes has a good thing going, but yet the offense just never could kick it on. And finally, Eastern took advantage of a Justin Hotling interception in the late in the third and ran it back to the six, and that changed the whole complex of things. And the defense kind of like got gassed, and that running game of the chop block or cut blocking and the running game of Kamal Cass just started wearing them down, and it got ugly in a hurry in that fourth quarter. 21 points and 200 yards later. It was 28-7, and there goes that team running up the hill again. Eastern, fourth time in five years. So,
and that's just got to rot in the gut of WT fans
and
the players to watch those kids run up there and get that wagon wheel. That burns.
In Kimbrough, and I'll tell you this: here's what hurt me watching, and this is what hurt Hunter Hughes the most after the game. Eastern ran 82 plays, WT ran 42 plays. Eastern had the ball for 39 minutes, WT had the ball for 20. You know, you just 92 yards offense till the final drive when they got a 60-yard touchdown. So they had 154 yards total. You know?
When the time of possession is that markedly in favor of one team versus another, my guess is the record is a million wins and three losses.
Yeah.
Throughout all of football when that happens.
Yeah, but WT's defense played so well. They kept them in the game. I mean, Easter didn't get their yards until it was pretty much – middle of the fourth, you know, because they were just getting stifled. I mean, the defense, but they did get their first downs. They were hurting themselves on penalties, so they kept the ball. But hats off to the defense. And hats off to Hunter Hughes. I've never seen a coach get beat and after the game watch a team run up the field, and he still goes over and shakes the hands of the coaches. You know what I mean? Showed that kind of class. But it was really funny about Hughes. Here's a good one for you. So after the game, Lee Baker asked him. From Channel 7, Lee Baker goes, Coach, what was your first experience? What's your thoughts on the first experience of the wagon wheel and watching their student body and players go get the wheel? He goes, Lee, I don't have anything to say on camera that you're going to want to hear.
He gives the honest answer.
He did. Very honest. He didn't cuss or anything, but he just, hey, that's what I got to say about it. Don't ask me about it. I'm not going
to
answer it.
This is a podcast. Maybe we could get him to give his true thoughts here. Yeah, you know, we're not necessarily monitored, but
I'm going to say it again. I have a lot of respect for that guy, and they're doing something there. It's going to take time.
I think they're headed in the right direction because everything that I had read, the defense may be the issue coming into the season, and they definitely are not.
Oh, no. And the offense is just young, 5 freshmen. I mean, they're beat up at places, and, you know, the running backs are freshmen, their quarterback's a freshman. I mean, you know, what do you – you know, right now it's just a matter of learning and fixing things, and it'll take some time. Be patient. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's tough to move from a run and gun to a ground and pound.
Without the big hosses to pound. You know, so
it's a different lineman. I mean, well, in fact, you guys did a interview with one of them, and his name slips my mind, but, you know, he talked about how it was an adjustment for him to come to WT because he was used to a running game.
Travis Vornkall.
Yeah. And, you know, he gets here, and now he's got to learn to pass protect, and now he's their best lineman because that's what he can do. And you got to go get those guys because it is different. It's a totally different scheme, and you got to go get the guys that best fit that. And there's tons of talent out there. It's possible. It's very possible. You just got to go get them, and I'm sure Coach Hughes, that will be his goal over the next couple of years, to go get guys that really fit the scheme that he wants to run on the offensive side.
Agreed.
So now let's move into high school, and oh, my goodness.
What a weekend, man. Week 5. It's crazy.
Yeah, you have to start it. Apologies to anybody else. You have to start it with the Bushland-Pampa game.
Was it exactly like we said it was?
It was exactly what we said, maybe even a little bit more.
We had you and I and Clinton said the over would be about 80 to 90, and it exceeded 80 to 90.
Phenomenal game. I wished I would have been there.
Go through the numbers with this,
but
Greg.
Bushland wins it 56-49. Bushland moves to 3-2 on the season. Pampa moves to 3-2 on the season. All right, let's get past that. Colton Moore with Bushland, 17-25, 298 yards passing and a touchdown. More incredible, though, 184 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns. Not to be outdone, Brandon Stewart, 35 of 63, 543 yards passing and 6 touchdowns. The game is decided on, of all things, a Colton Moore sneak with 1 minute and 11 seconds left in the game when they were tied at 49.
Yep.
Both teams combined for 1,170 yards of offense.
And both quarterbacks combined for about 1,000 yards of offense.
It was amazing. And I'll tell you what makes Bushland really dangerous, and you see it on the final on the play that they won it with, where Colton Moore sneaks in to the right side. If you watch that play and break it down, so Colton Moore is in the shotgun formation on that one. You can see Pampa couldn't stack the line because they had such a respect for the pass, but he can run the ball.
Well, he's a running back.
And so it was real simple. They take the tackle and the tight end. They block down on the defensive tackle, blow him out of there. The linebacker and the defensive end then meet the running backs. The lane was wide. He basically went in almost untouched. Great play, and it was nothing against Pampa. It's just that's tough to stop a one-yard run when the guy can throw the way he does and can run it. What do you defend?
Oh, what do you defend? Right now, if I was to vote, and I would say he's our super team quarterback, and there's the reason why, and nothing wrong with Stewart. Stewart's probably our best pure passer, but that guy does everything. He's their running back. I mean, heck, he probably could throw it up and catch it himself, kind of like Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. There's an old reference for you. Probably throw it up and catch it himself. You know what I mean? Like, the guy is just – I mean, 6 rushing touchdowns.
It's amazing. Amazing. I mean,
he's just incredible, man. He's put this team on his back, and he's won 3 games in a row all on him. And, he's got team – don't get me wrong. I don't mean all on him. His offensive line's been amazing. You saw the blocks they had against Pampa to get him holes. But, I mean, the passes – I mean, his arm's a cannon. The guy looks, he's got great vision. He does everything right. And then look at Stewart, 35 pass completions, 63 attempts in that. Darryl Fields had a field day.
Darryl Fields is a man.
He's a man. Yeah.
not to drop a Cale Gundy. Gundy.
I got
Mike Gundy.
Mike Gundy.
Reference there.
I'm sitting right by.
Wrong Gundy there.
Wrong Gundy. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that is a really good receiver. And so Brandon knows where to throw it to him and looked phenomenal. 543 yards of passing and you lose.
Yeah, that's got to be hurting.
You got to go to bed at night going, what could I have done more?
Nothing. There's nothing he could have done. I mean, it was coming. We thought it would do this. Hey, it didn't surprise me when I saw it.
No, it was exactly
what we
thought.
Here's what's crazy, though. At one point, it was 35-14 Mushland. Pampa gets two onside kicks in the third quarter back-to-back and ties the thing. And so kudos to coming back.
What a crazy – I wished I could have seen that one.
Me too.
What an incredible game. Let's move on. Next one, the Whitefaces.
Hereford.
We kind of expected this, but to me, they did what we expected and maybe proved a point a little bit. Hereford moves to 4-0 on the season, first time since 2009. They win it 35-14 over the Canyon Eagles. They outscored the Eagles 21-0 in the second half. Seth Dixon,
Seth Dixon,
25 carries, 213 yards rushing, and four touchdowns. Like I say, the second half, they outscored Canyon 21-0, and that really was the difference in the game. A game that was pretty close there in the first half, and then Hereford just – they showed their dominance in the second half.
Well, you saw what they've done at every team this year. They roughed them up in the second half, wore them out. That's strictly what they did. It was 14-all. Look at the second half, 21-0. Dixon gets his yards in the second half. Yeah, he had yards in the first half, but when you just have that big physical offensive line, that's what you're able to do to teams, wear them out.
Well, you've got that big physical offensive line, and then Seth Dixon.
Don't forget about Dodge Delosier too.
That's the funny thing because you talked about Moore and Stewart, and you got a Dodge Delosier out there that in a lot of years would be the super team quarterback,
right?
There wouldn't be any question,
right?
Poor guy, but Seth Dixon, and I haven't watched him play in person, but just the highlights of seeing reminds me a little bit. If you look at his stature and running behind that big offensive line, reminds me a little bit of Darren Sproles.
Nobody's
going to hit
low
him.
To the ground.
Yeah, low to the ground. Nobody's going to get a really hard shot on him, and he just grinds.
Kind of like a. Almost like a also like a Danny Woodhead type guy, maybe not quite as fast, but just so low. He just gets through those holes and he's burst of speed and he's gone, you know. But Hereford made up, you said they had a point to prove and they proved it. And right now they look great. They got Plainview at home with a good chance to go 2-0. We'll talk more about that on Thursday. But Dodd, with this running game and that physical defense, they look good right now.
It's gonna be fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Third game,
surprise game of the night for me. Right
yes,
here.
Yeah, yeah. Paladuro, they go down to Plainview and win it 30-23. First win on the season for Paladuro. Dondre the Great gets
sophomore
gets a little bit better every week. 14-21 passing, 218 yards, three touchdowns. Paladuro was down 23-16 with 8:35 left. They scored two touchdowns in the final 8:35 to win it. And Paladuro, that's a team, maybe not this year, but the sophomore quarterback that's that impressive, they're going to be somebody to look for. A, you better not look past them when it's your time to play them this year. Mm-hmm. And then moving forward, they're going to be a scary team.
How much does this change their confidence, though? You're winless. You're going into a game you're not supposed to win, and now you win, and you're like, oh, I'm 1-0 in district. And you got a sophomore that you found that Chris Fisher stuck with and finally kind of changed out of that. He was going with him in the senior, and you're splitting time, but now you gave it to the sophomore, and he's gaining confidence by the minute. So now you're looking at, you're like, oh, wow, I'm 1-0, and I'm in the middle of this thing. And we caught up with Mr. Fisher, and he kind of talked about that, Craig.
Appreciate you taking time with us here, Coach.
No problem. It's my pleasure always, Cale.
Oh, yeah, man. And, not to say that you were an underdog, but, you had some tough luck there in non-district, but to get a big win and the way you came from behind, man, just talk about what you were able to do there in Plainview.
Well, I mean, it's just another step in the direction we're trying to go in the program that we're trying to build. We're trying to get, our edge back here on the north side, trying to get that toughness, that resiliency. And really, it's a credit to the coaches. The coaches, getting the kids to buy in, and then the kids wanting to do everything they can for our coaches. So, it really is a group effort over here. It feels good to know that when we are in those situations, we've got enough character to do the things that are necessary to pull it out.
Yeah, and when talk about the play of your sophomore quarterback, that Dondre DeGray, I mean, leading two drives like that, you're down – seven, right. And in the fourth quarter, about 8 minutes to go, and he leads two drives. I mean, what character that shows?
Well, that goes to that offensive staff I have. Ty James has just done a wonderful job with his development. He's done a wonderful job, teaching the game to Dondre, making it as simple as possible, where the game is as slow as possible for him. And then it's just the work of Dondre. He's put in just a ton of work when it comes to film study, all those things that you want, you know, a senior quarterback to do. And he's doing it at 16 years old. So just really happy with his progress. You know, the offensive line gave him enough time. And then our receivers went out and actually caught the ball, you know, and that's something that we've been really inconsistent with. You know, against Bushland, we felt like we left some points out on the field just because we didn't catch balls that were in our hands. And so, you know, just to see some of that stuff start coming together was very positive for us.
You said something to me the other night on Friday after you won. You know, if the playoffs were to happen today, PD's in. How does this change the way that you guys kind of look at things now and being 1-0?
First of all, Kale, that was a joke.
I know. I know.
But really, you know, last year we didn't get our first district win until, you know, 5 weeks in or something like that. And so what it does is it just tells those kids to lock in a little bit more because we're in something, you know. And obviously this week is going to be a similar situation. No one's going to pick us to win or anything like that. But we've got to go in and prepare like we have nothing to lose, because we really don't, because no one has expected anything out of us, and we expect a ton out of ourselves. So, you know, what being 1-0 does, it just says, hey, we're taking a step forward. We're still coming. And, you know, we're not there yet, but it's better than the other side, I tell you that.
One incredible interview there from Coach Fisher over at Paladuro.
He's just a very likable guy, man. This
very
is how
likeable.
He is.
Very likable.
I'm a big fan of him, and last year when we did it, Steve and I did the podcast with him, they won. So the power of the podcast, he always said, was there a good luck charm? So I thought I'd interview him again to give him some luck this week, because he's got to go to Dumas. I don't know if he's – or no, it's here at Bivens, but thought I'd give him a little lady luck there against Dumas, because he's going to need some, because the Demons are good, man.
The Demons are definitely good. And, you know, the one thing I want to touch on real quick on his interview, and he talked about it, and I think sometimes we forget about this. We get so into supporting our teams. He talked about Dondre the Great. This is a 16-year-old kid. Folks, these are 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. Some of these are freshmen playing in the smaller schools. They're 15, maybe even a old 14. We put a lot of pressure on really young kids to excel at very high levels here in the Texas Panhandle.
And we were real bad, and parents are guilty as this as anybody, and we're real bad about judging kids. And it's the fault of the game and competitiveness. And they put a lot of pressure on themselves. End of the day, it is a game. But it's just the nature of the sport.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
I don't rip
Texas high school football for a reason.
I won't rip a high school kid. There's no way. There's no reason to. But college kids, it's more lax because it's such a national broad. But you're not going to hear me rip a high school kid. You know what I mean? I just won't.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So congratulations to Coach Fisher. Good win there for them, defeating Plainview 30-23. Kind of take a rundown the rest of the scores on Friday night. The Rebels, they go to 5-0 on the season. They defeat a good Odessa High team 36-9. Very impressive in that one. Dumas, they defeated Randall 31-7. And I talked about it. I thought Dumas might be a dark horse. They definitely took it to Randall. Held Randall to 111 yards total offense.
Just like we thought that would – I thought that would happen.
The Demon defense is for real. And just 3-5A is going to be interesting as we move forward. Amarillo High, no problem with Caprock. They defeat them 42-20.
What do we say, Craig? Somebody knocks them off the mountain, right?
I can't wait for Amarillo High to play Hereford, for Hereford to play Dumas.
Even Amarillo High Canyon this Friday.
Oh,
that's interesting.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Moving on down the scoreboard here, a tough year for the Rangers. Borger defeats them 28-8. Also, Friona, they defeat Dalhart 28-21. Undefeated so far, 5-0 on the season. Stratford, no problems with Littlefield, 49-18. A good win for them coming off that loss to Canadian last week. One I really want to touch on just real quick, the Bobcats, 5-0 since 2003. The Childress Bobcats defeat the Henrietta Bearcats 41-0. Luke Latimer, once again, talk about special team quarterbacks, 19 of 30, 223 yards passing and a touchdown. And here's you a super team wide receiver. You got to name him this just on his name alone, Kale. Joe Dan Gamble. 9 receptions, 130 yards, and a touchdown. Got to love it.
Jason Bob Sims Cats says if real. He's going to be our favorite player, we have to say his name right.
Oh, okay.
He texted me that the other day. So there you go, Coach. You're welcome.
Joe Dan Gamble. Got to love it. Got to love it.
We both said it last week.
Bobcats are for real, folks. Yeah. There you go, Coach Sims.
Yeah.
The Dimmitt Bobcats win it 21-13 over Boys Ranch. Good win there for them after coming off the stroke occurred by their head coach, Coach Gunther.
I talked to his son. He's doing better by the day, slowly.
Great to hear. The Lynx of Spearman defeat Texoma 52-12, and the Oklahoma teams are going to quit coming to Texas because I don't think they've won all year. Muleshoe, the Mules, impressive in this one. I know ILU's now 0-4, but they defeated ILU 33-3. A lot of people thought this ILU team was pretty decent.
This saddens me, man, because I covered a million of those games back in the day, and those used to be powerhouse games. I don't know what's happened, but golly, that's sad to me.
Well, one note to touch on that. Michael Lozano for the Mules, 22 carries, 301 yards, and two touchdowns.
He's
going to
be our 3A player of the week, by the way. Deservingly so.
Most definitely. Wellington and Panhandle, the Skyrockets win it 33-6.
How about JoJo McKnight in that game?
Oh, he was impressive. Another McKnight coming through Wellington and doing his thing, and the Skyrockets are definitely for real.
Yeah, they are, and they just keep proving it each week. Wade Williams just does it. That guy just knows how to coach, man.
He does. Sunray, they defeat Vega 51-6. Sanford Fritch, they defeat River Road 42-27.
Tucker Mayberry,
great game for him. Catch this out, folks. 10 of 17, so only 10 completions, 325 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, amazing.
Very impressive. Game touch on just real fast. Abernathy defeated Memphis 28-20. Abernathy ranked number 7. That Memphis defense may be definitely for real. They only gave up like 240 total yards to Abernathy.
Wade Williams told me that they got a lineman back, and I need to call
Logan.
Broderick Logan, and apparently made all the difference, and they whipped Abernathy up.
Yeah,
front,
Broderick Logan is, five ten. If I remember right, 5'10", 280,
okay.
and he's a player.
Okay.
So definitely makes a difference. So the Cyclones, maybe somebody
yeah,
teams
Wade
in that
mad.
District have to watch for.
Wade was like, oh, they got him back for the bye week, and now I got to play him in 2 weeks.
So good showing there from the Cyclones. New Deal, they're for real. They defeat Tulia 38-0. Groover, another team that's playing well, they defeat Highland Park 47-0. Break up the Broncos of Clarendon. They defeat Booker 33-19, now 5-0 on the season. Quanah defeats Shamrock 42-14. Hale Center, kind of under the radar, they are undefeated on the season. They defeat Bovina 29-21. And Rawls, in a good game here, defeat the Claude Mustangs 36-34. Now we'll move on to six-man, the game I covered. The Happy Cowboys and the Cruel Wildcats. Happy wins that one via the mercy rule at half, 74-16.
And you called that.
Oh, this was – well, I did, and it was a great game because it was 16-16 with a minute and 35 seconds off the clock.
Really?
Amazing.
Wow.
Kroll connects on a 55 and a 60-yard touchdown pass. Skylar Hayes to Evan De Los Santos. The Cowboy defense acts like they have never seen this kid ever before. And then third possession, Kroll gets it. They come down to the 4-yard line. The Cowboys stop them. I don't think they had 30 yards total offense after that.
Ooh.
Cowboys shut them down. They went, what Coach Keith told me is they went from a cover 2 to a cover 3.
Yeah.
Made all the difference in the world. Shut them down.
And six man, that's kind of like half the that's half of it right
that's
there.
That's half of it right
yeah,
there.
Right there, yeah.
Borden County, they're for real too.
Oh,
the Cowboys
yeah.
come to Nazareth, and Nazareth definitely takes a lick in here. It was a Thursday night game, and they defeat Naz 58-8 at halftime via the mercy rule.
I want you to take 60 seconds here and explain something to the fans of ours.
So, Happy went into the game. Put a mercy rule defeat on Kroll, number 4 in Division 2, 74-16. Borden County, they're ranked number 2. They defeat Nazareth, who was number 8 in the rankings, 58-8. Borden County jumps Happy to go to the number 1 spot. So if anybody ever remembers the old Harris ratings, that is real similar to what SixManFootball.com does. That's Hunter Granger Huntress. The guy is an analytical genius. He takes and breaks all this stuff down. He feeds all this stuff into a computer. So there's nothing somebody sitting back there. You know, the AP poll is about people voting.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're in the Texas Panhandle, you're just not going to get any votes unless maybe you're Canadian.
Yeah.
People just forget about us up here. That's not how this thing works. You're going to, I think, as long as both teams win, you're going to see them play leapfrog every week, because there's going to be weeks where Borden County plays somebody who's not rated nearly as high. Happy may play someone like White Deer. If they were to defeat White Deer, you might see them jump back. And then the next week, the same thing happens again. So it's totally statistical. I know it drives people crazy, but that's what's going to happen. As long as Happy and Borden County continue to win, they're going to leapfrog each other 1-2, 1-2 all season long. And it's not going to matter until we get to the playoffs. But I know it drives people crazy, and I wanted to bring that out. And speaking of rankings, number 3, White Deer. Still, they've outscored their opponents 288-0 this year. They defeat Crest 61-0.
And they'll have a test finally Friday. At Follett.
And that's not an easy place to play because Follett defeated Groom 59-6. So that will be a good game. Also out of that District 1-1A, McLean defeated LaForce 54-6. So three of the four teams in that district are undefeated. And if White Deer can knock out Follett, they may all go into the district standings undefeated, which will be really interesting. Higgins picks up the victory. They take down the Miami Warriors 43-38. Laz Buddy picks up a win. They defeat Headley 35-28. Valley says, don't forget about us, folks. Mm-hmm. They're for real. I promise you. Valley is a good team. They knock down the Dragons 54-6. Wellman Union defeats Hart 54-6. And a bit of a surprise, but at the same time not. San Jacinto on Saturday defeats Holy Cross 43-0. The game ended before halftime, not via the mercy rule because you got to get to 45. Holy Cross ran out of healthy players.
Couple injuries there.
And that, honestly, folks, that's not a knock on Holy Cross in this game. San Jacinto's for real. They're a good team.
They are a good team.
They are a good team. So definitely somebody for teams to kind of keep an eye out on and love to see them having some success. So, final thoughts?
Game ball for me this week, I'd have to say Colton Moore. You agree?
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
It's just hard to pass up 500-something all-purpose yards.
Folks, it's going to get interesting. We got lots of really good teams in here in the Texas Panhandle. The Tascosa Rebels are for real out of that 6A all the way down to, I guess, what's number two, Happy now, after the ratings came out yesterday.
I just like to see these undefeated teams around here. I think we've had some surprises so far midweek through, and we're getting in the district here in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to get fun. It's going to get exciting. Get out to a high school field near you. Go see these kids play. Cheer them on. Be nice to the referees. I know they can drive us crazy, but those guys are doing yeoman's work at the same time. I want to thank our fine supporters here on the Press Pass. That includes Belmar Bakery, All Red Security in Perryton, and we'll see if I can get it right. Jam, it's good. That's Coach Udy out at Bushland. So that's going to do it for us here on the Press Pass for Monday, October 2nd. Don't miss the Thursday one. We got the great Luke Kinsey in here. He's going to co-host with us this week. We'll take a look at next week's games and get his thoughts on the West Texas A&M Buffs. For Cale Steed, I'm Craig Spree. That's going to do it for us. Hope you have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder.